April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Go Birds Podcast.
Go Birds! Go Birds!
Hey, hello. It is the Go Birds Podcast presented by Park Sportsbook and Casino. And Elliot, I went into this game expecting them to lose. They came out of it losing, and I still feel worse. This team sucks. It was just a total letdown on every level, from the roster to the coach to the quarterback. They all stink. This team's bad, Elliot. That's where I'm at.
I think this is worse than 2015. I think it is. Like, I did the Chip Kelly, the ending was bad, don't get me wrong, but I don't think at that point anybody like truly believed in Chip Kelly and Sam Bradford. Like, there was no feeling that they were building towards something, right? At least towards the end there. And it's not towards the end yet for the Eagles. I mean, they're 10 games in, they still have six to play, so it's not like this is week 14. But I think what makes it so hard to watch this team is that a large portion of people do still believe in Doug, or do still believe in Carson, or maybe do believe in the duo. And, you know, maybe they believe in Howie, probably not as many people in that camp. But, you know, I just think, like, watching this team every week, and I've said it before, but there, you convince yourself into it, and then you immediately find out why you were wrong to do so. You know, like, just always, always right off the bat. And they got off to, I guess a little bit better of a start. I mean, you get the stop on fourth down at the goal line, right?
Which until was the fumble, the Miles Sanders. They were cruising down the field, right? And then the Miles Sanders fumble and the stop on the goal line helped. But yeah, look, there's no positives here. there's nothing to take away and be like, oh well, that was good. I mean, we'll get to a couple players later who flashed and whatever. But let's just dive into it, Ali, because the way I looked at this, and we'll go piece by piece, but I really felt like this was a failure on all levels. This Eagles team is undisciplined. They're poorly coached. They're woefully under-talented. And the quarterback sucks right now. Like, that's it. Like, on every level, they're just a bad football team. I was trying to think of during the game, I was going through and trying to think of teams that I could say the Eagles are definitely better than. And it's like three or four, man. It's like the Jags, the Jets, and like, I don't know. It gets pretty tough after that. Like, the Bengals now that Burrow's out. Like, I don't know, man. Like, they're a bad football team, Elliot. And we'll dive into the specific pieces. But on a basic level, I already knew this, but I came away from today just feeling even more like I just watch a bad football team play every week.
So sometimes going into the pod, I'm not always sure what we're going to disagree on, but I think your last answer, I know what we're going to disagree on. This was not a poorly coached game today. It just wasn't. Like,
oh, buddy.
All right, well, let me explain myself, okay?
Okay,
they go right down the field. Heading into the game, we all said, Doug, you got to run the ball. This is a run the ball game. 8 of the first 9 plays were runs. They were heading into the end zone, right? Miles Sanders fumbles the ball. Cincinnati goes down the field, and they get a stop, so it's still 0-0. Next drive, they're moving. Like, what? Nice throws by Carson, but also nice schemed and called plays by the coaching staff.
But they didn't run the ball once on that drive. Like, what are you doing?
Let me finish. They got two big passing plays back-to-back. The offense was moving, right? Then Carson throws the pick six. You're down 7-0. So, like, I think they came to the game with a good plan, and the plan was working.
But they didn't stay with it. Like, they didn't run the ball consistently throughout. They weren't – look, dude, like, I'm not –
But that's not really true. I
agree with you. Like, I'm not going to say today was – the biggest was on Doug. Like, last week it was a Doug loss. Like, but to say Doug did good today is he was out-coached by Kevin Stefanski. I mean, that offense, again, week in, week out, is uncreative. They don't do anything, man. Like, Carson Wentz still never out of the pocket. Every time he gets out of the pocket, he makes a play. Like, coach that way, man. Like, you can't keep just saying, oh, well, Carson's not executing. Yeah, he's not. He sucks right now. Put him in better positions. Like, Doug did not call a good game. Like, maybe he wasn't horrible and it wasn't, like, the reason they lost today. But, like, Doug was not good. You cannot let Doug off by saying, oh, you know, like, they were moving the ball for the first two drives. Like, whatever. And then on top of that, just to add in quickly, the penalties, the lack of fire, like, all that stuff is coaching. This team never looks crisp. They never look ready to play. They never look sharp. They never execute. Like, that's on Doug, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those things are on Doug. And like I said, big picture, yes, like, this looks like a poorly coached football team. I agree. But it absolutely changes the outlook of the game when arguably two best players on offense, right? I think we would, coming into this game, probably have said, when healthy, Carson Wentz and Miles Sanders. I mean, it's hard to compare positions by positions, but regardless, two of your most important players, right? On the first two possessions, they turn it over. Like, that changes the outlook of the game. It just does. Like, Doug came in saying, I need to run the ball. They ran the ball right down the field, and it's fumbled. Then on the next possession, he gets guys open, and Carson Wentz throws a pick six. And we could talk about the specifics of those games, but I mean, of that exact pick six, because I'm not sure it's 100% on Carson. Like, it was a little bit of everybody there. But this was not a game that they lost because of Doug Peterson, right? It was not a game that they lost because of Jim Schwartz. The defense was really good basically all game. And one thing you see a lot on Twitter is the defense gives up points after the offense scores. And that is true. Like, it is a trend. But defense today, at one point, I with the last two possessions, two or three possessions, I'm not sure. But overall, the defense, first 10 possessions, they allowed 2 scoring drives. The offense scored on 2 out of 10. Like, the defense was good today. The defense was good enough to win. The special teams blocked a kick, right? Like, they were making plays everywhere. The issue was that Carson Wentz was not good. Like, that was the problem with the team today. He was single-handedly the reason they were losing that game at one point when it was 7-0, right? Like it was... This was a Carson game, and I am obviously open to criticizing Doug. Last week, we ripped
you're
Doug
not as much so, but you're not enough. Like,
well, because
I'm with you. We'll get to Carson. I absolutely would say in the blame pie, like, Carson absolutely is a bigger slice for this game. I would agree with you, but you underrate Doug's role too. Doug is not doing enough to help these guys. They are poorly coached. What do you mean they look like a poorly coached team, but they're not? They look like a poorly coached team because they are a poorly coached team. I agree with you. We're not even talking defense. Doug has nothing to do with the defense. Doug's the offensive coach. On offense, they stink. They don't do anything creative. They don't execute well. Like, yes, it's on Carson too, but you are letting Doug skate too much for this. Like, it's on Doug also, just more on Carson.
I personally don't believe you can design an offense for a quarterback that's throwing 2 interceptions a game. Like, I do not believe any head coach, like there is no, like, Carson is not playing at a functional level right now at quarterback. Like, he's not. Like, and when the team comes out and finally doesn't fall behind immediately, he throws a pick six and they fall behind 7-0. And what I'm saying by them being a poorly coached team overall, what I mean was, I didn't think they looked like a poorly coached team today. Today, I thought it was...
Oh, I did. I did.
Okay, well, right, but that's where we disagree. But I'm saying overall on the season, yes, they, for the majority of the season, they have looked like a poorly coached team. I mean, 5 penalties, It's not great, don't get me wrong, but like five penalties for 33 yards should not lose you the game. Like, they didn't lose the game because of the penalties today. And when you look at the run to pass ratio, Miles Sanders 16 for 66, Boston Scott 5 for 24. So that's 21 runs to 35 passes. Maybe you want to see that a little more 50-50.
You definitely want to. Yes, especially in that weather. It was like it worked for the first drive and then he never stuck with it in the same way, man. Like, he does it every week and then he's like, "Well, I ran on that first drive," and then he never does it again, man. Like,
but they weren't
especially think
points.
About it, the numbers you just said, add in the fact that they ran on what, 8 of 9 or 9 of 10 that first drive. So from that point forward, he was way more pass happy. Like, it doesn't matter how much they're down. Like, this offense stinks right now. The only thing that is working is running the football. That is it, is the only thing. So guess what? Run the freaking football. We saw it on the other side of the ball. Like, Stefanski finds a way to manage around Baker Mayfield, who also stinks.
Yeah,
and they
run
the football, and they kept wearing the Eagles down. And the defense played well for the majority of the game, but at the end, they kept getting run all over by Nick Chubb. Like, that's on them. Like, they didn't play great at the end, and that's because they pounded them down with the football and kept running it down their throats. Like, Doug is always going to revert back to passing the ball, and in that. So I think that, again, like, we'll get to Carson in 1 second, but I think that you are underrating the poor job that Doug did today as part of a general poor job he's done this season, but on both the play calling level and the team being prepared and ready to play level.
Yeah, I could be. I'm open to it. I'm just saying that, you know, like, when your quarterback throws two interceptions and he throws a pick six, like, I think it's pretty obvious where to point the blame on this one.
But,
and
I know, all right, so let's get to Carson. Let's get to Carson because okay. I agree. Carson was horrible. Like, he was not good. But at the same time, I mean, the offensive line and pass protection was a disaster. I mean, that guy had no time at any point all day. This is kind of my point, is that, yes, Carson was horrible, but Doug was bad. The offensive line was bad. Guys weren't getting open. I know on the interception, Rager was open. That was clearly on Carson. There's no question. And the safety, like, just throw the ball away. There are those moments. And again, I'm not absolving Carson. He stunk. Like, flat out, he stunk. But this offense just doesn't work, period, right now, across the board. It is just a failure across the board, and I think it's hard. Like you say, it's hard to judge Doug. I think it's hard to – Carson's horrible, but it's hard to judge anything in this offense because they're all awful. It's just bad.
So I want to get your take on the pick six play specifically because, I mean, we text during the game, but it's almost always with this team just a combination of, like, wow, that's terrible, can't believe that, and various emojis. Like, it's
do we really have to record a podcast after this? That kind of stuff, yeah.
But here's my – so I want to get your take on the pick six because I actually have a lot of thoughts on it. So I just want to hear what
I mean, my take was it was on Carson. I mean, look, there was clearly pressure, obviously, as there had been all game, but he had a window there, a moment to get rid of the ball. Like, he did. That's it. Facts. Like, and he didn't get rid of the ball. And that's something that just happens far too often. We always talk about being like a gunslinger. Like, a gunslinger gets rid of the ball in that spot quickly. Like, there. He doesn't do that. He held on to it, that, you know, and he got hit as he was throwing. I think it's absolutely on Carson. There's no question.
So I agree. I do agree with you ultimately, but someone texted me an interesting point, and when I rewatched it, it looks to me like he wants to go to Jalen Reagor, which is what you're talking about, right? Like, he sees Jalen Reagor, he's open, but I think when Carson's looking at Reagor, Reagor's back is turned to him. And that's not like a complete excuse. I'm not absolving Carson, but I do wonder if maybe he sat back there, wanted to go to Reagor, Reagor's back was turned. He turns to try to check it down, and at that point, he gets absolutely drilled, and the ball floats on him. Now, that's on Reagor if that's the case. But where I do ultimately decide it falls on Carson is if this was like his third interception of the season, then you can go okay. But when it's your 13th and you end up with 14th, like, you don't get the benefit of the doubt, right? Like, that's just another interception on his resume of this year. So, and it was clearly a huge play, right? I mean, they fall behind 7-0. They never get the lead back. The game was still somewhat competitive. You know, like, it was 0-0, obviously, but like, it was also 0-0 at halftime. They tied the game 7-7. Like, it was a huge play in the game. So, but that was just kind of where I saw when I watched.
All right, so give me your take on Carson the whole, because I agree. I thought he stunk, but I think it's all kind of broken right now in the offense. My point is, I don't know. You know, I was talking to you. We brought up on the midday show how much better would the Eagles be with Patrick Mahomes as if you just did that and nothing else. And I thought they would definitely be better, obviously. But this was the type of game. And obviously Mahomes is the unique example because he's, you know, has a chance to be the greatest ever when it's all said and done. You
every,
know,
every team would be better.
But like,
with Mahomes.
I don't know any. I don't know if any quarterback could have stepped into that offense today and really made it work. Like, it's just this offense is a mess. Like, there is so little talent offensively. It's and again, the offensive line was just a disaster. It all felt broken to me today.
So we got off to a hot start with the pod, right? Going at it right away, Carson versus
fire,
Doug.
Baby.
Yeah, it's fire. Which is, hey, it's more fire than the fans got to watch from 1 to 4
look,
on Sunday.
We got to bring,
right?
Some fire. So, the team isn't.
But here's what I would say my overall take of Carson today was. I think, like, for a quarterback that finished with a 75.3 rating, it's probably one of, like, the better games you'll see from a quarterback that had a 75.3 rating with a pick six and two interceptions. Like, so I do think that the elements played a role in it today. I mean, it literally rained the entire game. And that's not end-all, be-all of an excuse, but it's just the reality. Like, it's way harder to throw the football in the rain. The offensive line was bad. Like, I've said it before, but for a guy that has the label of injury prone, he does take a lot of big hits and continually get up. Like, his jersey was filled with dirt by the end of that game. He took a lot of big hits. But it's the same thing I always come back to of just, like, you know, yeah, he might have been better than his numbers showed. And, like, yeah, it was hard to be out there and play in the rain and, like, all that stuff. But, like, you just have to be better than he is. And I think that's why after the game, you know, Doug was asked a lot about whether or not he'll bench Carson, and Carson was asked about it. And I do think Carson's the biggest problem with the team. So in that argument, like, yes, I do think he should be benched, you know, take the implications out of it. But at the same time, like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like you said, the offensive line's bad. You don't think the coaching's good. We disagree a little bit on that. But, like, I think he looked better in his numbers, but he's not the guy. He's just not the answer, I guess, is where I ultimately fall down on Carson. Like, he might not always be the problem, but another week where he's not the answer. And he was more of the problem today than being close to the answer.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that – I really like the phrase that you used last week, the idea of they didn't lose this game because of Carson, but they certainly didn't win it. And they, you know, they right. need to have more games that they win because of him. And I think that's the issue with Carson right now is that he's been so bad and, you know, he needs to be the guy who kind of can throw teams on his back, especially in this type of situation where this division is, you know, historically bad and, you know, he should be the best player in the division. You know, that's
and even just today, this was a very winnable game. This game was very
no question, no question. But he just feels broken, man. Like, Carson feels broken. This offense feels broken. It just feels like Doug and Carson don't work together. Like, that's honestly what it feels like. It feels like they are two contrasting styles. Doug is too stubborn. He doesn't want to change what he does, and Carson is, you know, not good at what Doug. A Doug quarterback should be like. I think that's what, you know, you're kind of seeing is the offense Doug wants to run is not an offense that is great for Carson Wentz, and Doug won't change his offense for Carson Wentz. Like, he hasn't done it yet. I don't know why. Like, you know, that's what I've been pounding the drum for. I get it. But, like, at this point, like, what else are we doing here? Like, either move on from Carson Wentz or try and fit your offense around the guy, like, or hire a coach who's going to fit his offense around the guy. Like, one way or the other, like, you know, nobody is being put in the best position to be successful, and we're seeing the results. You know, this offense, when was, like, it's been like since 2017 that this offense was fun to watch. Maybe, you know, those few games with Foles, the last two games of 2018, it was fun.
Yeah,
two games,
and I guess maybe one games. Or two games at 2019. But, like, right, I think those are all fair points. I think how you said it, like, Doug won't adjust his offense to Carson, and Carson can't run Doug's offense. Like, so they both hold blame there. I mean, frankly, not to keep repeating myself, like, but I think it's way harder to design an offense for Carson than it is right now to run Doug's offense. You know, like, I just think Carson's, like you said, he's broken. And, you know, who has blame for that? Probably a lot of people other than just Carson. Like, I do think there's physical barriers that are part of it as well in terms of Carson playing as he is. But I really thought today, you know, the question of benching Carson is such a loaded one. I wrote in my postgame thing that if there wasn't a statue of Nick Foles outside of Lincoln Financial Field, I think Carson would have been benched already. Like, I do think that Nick Foles plays an impact in this, and the way that they've seen this happen, right? And, like, there's a real backup phobia with this team when it comes to Carson. Like, it's a sensitive subject because of everything.
Yet they drafted Jalen Hurts.
Well, yes. Well, right. Right. And, you know, I mean, look.
It's like talking out both sides of your mouth, right?
Yeah,
you
know, it's I agree. But there is. I mean, it's like, you know.
I know.
Jalen Hurts hasn't talked to the media all week.
It's just such a poorly run franchise as of late, my friend.
Well, but so here, but here's what I was going to say. So, like, benching Carson is obviously an extremely big-time loaded decision that comes with tons of implications. If there was ever a time where you could do it and, like, maybe spin it in some way, it was today. It was raining. The offense was being, like, the running the ball was the way to move the ball. Jalen Hurts helps you in the running game because he actually is a threat on, you know, I can't think of the phrase right now. Wiseman, not play action. Oh, like
he's a read option type stuff.
Yes, where he can when he can actually be a threat to run the ball. Like Carson was getting beat up. Like if there was ever a time where Doug could step to the podium and give some semblance of a reasoning for benching Carson, this was it. And they passed on it. And it just shows that they are not going to bench Carson. Like they're not going to do it Monday night against Seattle. They're not going to do it with, you know, maybe week 17 if they're completely out of it by some weird stretch, maybe then. But Doug said after the game, and I'm interested in your thought on this. He said he didn't consider benching Carson Wentz. And one of the reasons he didn't consider it was because he thinks it would send a message to the team that the season is over. What do you think about that? What does James Seltzer think about it? And what do you think Jalen Hurts thinks about it?
Yeah, it's a great question. I didn't think at all about what Hurts thought about it, but I'm sure he doesn't love it, right? Yeah. I'm sure he gets it, but I'm sure he doesn't love it. In all honesty, like, I legitimately don't know, and if I had to guess, would guess that Doug Peterson doesn't even have the authority to bench Carson Wentz on his own, would be my guess.
Asked whether he had the authority.
Well,
to
I'm sure he's going to say he does.
Well,
right?
He actually sidestepped it. He said.
Did he really? See, there you go. That's fascinating.
That's when he said the thing about, like, you know, you don't bench Carson because of the message it sends, basically.
Yeah. So I legitimately think that I don't think he has full authority to do that. I don't think he can do that without Howie and Jeff signing off on that. And I don't know what that would take. And I don't know if they would go into a game knowing that he has the option to do it if Carson is terrible because they talked beforehand or what. I have no idea. But I'm with you. I don't think Carson Wentz is getting benched. I think they're going down with this ship for the year. And look, I mean, like, that contract, what else are they supposed to do? I mean, that's what's so weird. And we talked about this a bit on Saturday, I think, on a radio show, but that just the timeline of events that you give Carson this huge contract, and then he actually ends that year with his best four-game stretch that he's had since 2017. And you know, yeah, gets a concussion in the playoff game, but you know, for all intents and purposes, end that season on a high note, and you're feeling good about the contract you just gave him, and then they draft Jalen Hurts. Like,
yeah.
None of it makes any sense, Elliot. It just doesn't feel like there's logic. And you and I yelled about this a lot in the last pod with the Jefferson Rager thing. And it's like that type of thing. It just feels like a lot of these decisions are not being made logically. Like, the logical decision was to take Justin Jefferson in that spot. Instead, they take Jalen Rager because they're trying to be too smart. And it just feels like there's a lot of those decisions that have been made that have helped this. Because again, like, as much as we're blaming Doug and Carson, and we should be, and Carson again, especially today, the ultimate problem in my mind, as you know, is Howie Roseman. I think this roster is garbage, like garbage as a roster. So, you know, and then this, and then these types of things, and then all these other moves. And then, you know, again, a head coach who doesn't have the power to bench a quarterback in a game potentially. I mean, that's like crazy. A Super Bowl winning head coach doesn't have the power to make that type of decision. Like, I don't know, what are we doing here? What are we doing here, Elliot?
Well, first of all, look. Richard Rodgers, great signing by Howie Roseman.
Oh, Dick Rod, baby!
You want to talk about, you find a low cost veteran to contribute? Nah, I mean, I'm mostly kidding. I mean, he obviously was good today, but look, with the benching Carson thing, I guess we can kind of put a ribbon on it because I'm sure this will.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. I'm sure we'll talk about it more. We're gonna do because it's Thanksgiving week and stuff, so we'll have a couple pods out for you Tuesday and Wednesday this week, and then we'll be back for our Saturday radio show. So we'll have ample time to get into that before
Some
Monday night's
we'll be
Seattle game.
All week. But, you know, there's no talk of benching Wentz if Nate Sudfeld's the backup. It's just not. Like, nobody is clamoring for Wentz to be benched. It would go like this. like, oh, Carson's really struggling, you should bench him. Like, what do you, Nate Sudfeld's going to do better? Like, that would be the entire discussion. And then it would be like, okay, well, you don't have anybody to put back there, right? But because it's Jalen Hurts, there's an intrigue of what he could do if you did bench Carson. And so the Eagles brought it amongst themselves, like all those things. But, you know, the discussion of whether or not to bench Carson is an important one, and it's relevant. But to what you keep saying, like, the fact that Carson's broken is like a bigger deal, right? I mean, that is kind of independent of the benching of benching him. Like, what is going on with him? Like, you know, like, the is it just bad? Is it bad luck? Like, why do you think he's playing so poorly?
Carson, I just think he's a shell of his former self in more ways than one. Look, I think the physically, we've talked before, but I don't think that he is physically the same guy he was before the injuries. Now, I don't think it's a massive difference, but I think it's enough that he has still not understood what his body can and can't do, and that has gotten him into trouble. But I think more than anything, if I had to guess, and again, this is pure conjecture and whatnot, but it feels like he's in his head, man. It feels like he's second-guessing everything he does. Every decision he makes on a football field, it feels like he's second-guessing. And that's why sometimes, every once in a while, when he's out on the run and he's not thinking, you'll see him make a really nice play. But it feels like everything else is just so overthought. And I just think he's a mess right now. And the result is, you know, a player who's not playing with any sort of confidence whatsoever. I mean, he is zero confidence out on that field, and I think it shows in his play and you know, the result. And then add in, like, that alone is someone who's not going to be good on a football field, and then add in an offensive line that's been horrendous, you know, skilled players who, you know, at best are mediocre and in reality are probably below that. Like, and then, you know, just to, I think all that kind of stuff put in a pot together has kind of given us this disaster of a quarterback that we've seen so far this season.
You know, I try not to read too much into what players say at the podium, just because I think, you know, they go up there to try to say nothing, essentially. Like, they're just saying what they can to make the least amount of headlines and all that. But I do think it's getting to the point where Carson maybe wants to stop saying that he's just going to keep being himself, and, you know, he's going to be a risk taker. That's who he is. But he also knows he needs to be smart. Like I think you need to think of a better stock answer for that.
Totally with you, Elliot. Enough of that. Enough, bro.
And he was asked today about the fact that people are talking about him being benched, and it's a fair question because people are talking about it. And he said, you know, I understand that what comes with playing quarterback. I signed up for it. But at the same time, you know, I'm going to keep being me, and I'm going to keep kind of, you know, doing my thing. And I just, you got to come up with something better to say, because your thing is not working. Like, the Carson Wentz brand of football is not working right now. So to wrap up and move on to the next subject, just another little dagger if you want, James.
Oh, can't wait, buddy. Can't wait.
CeeDee Lamb just had a really amazing touchdown.
Yeah, I saw. Okay. It's great, man. It's terrific. It's terrific.
Well, so let me ask you this. Are the Eagles winning this division?
I hope not. Okay. Honestly.
You hope not? All right.
Do you want this team, like, limping into the playoffs at 5-10-1? Let's put it this way, Elliot. I don't think they're winning any of these next four games, like, for sure. We were like, oh, maybe they'll win one. Like, I think they're going to lose to, you know, the Packers and the Saints and Seattle. Like, flat out losing these games, the Cardinals, whatever it is, like, they're losing these games. And
yeah, I think they're gonna get to,
I think they might have a chance to win the division the last two games of the season, but, like, I, you know, what does that mean? And I'm just hoping the Giants or Washington start to get on a little mini run and can get to six, because just take us out of our misery.
I mean, the Cowboys, if the Cowboys win this game, which would be another blow.
It's early, early still. Early.
It is.
Still.
It is. But yeah. I'm just saying, if they win the game, they're 3-7. Like,
so is Washington. Washington won, their 3-7, and so are the Giants. Yeah. So everyone's a half game behind the Eagles. I'm with you. It's just, you know, everyone's schedules are pretty tough. So Dallas actually, I think, is the easiest one. But
I'm starting to think they're not going to
win
it.
Good. I hope so, Elliot. I hope so. I just out and get a top five pick. That's where I'm at.
I don't think they're going to get to six wins.
I don't think there's any. Again, that's what I said. I think their ceiling is five wins, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, because
that's their ceiling.
Even if they do lose, look, if they lose every one of the next four games against the good teams they're going to play, but let's just say they do, they're not going to win both of the divisional games.
Probably not. But even so, that's my point. Is that's their ceiling.
Right. So, I mean, maybe they win one of the next four somehow and then they split the divisional games. But I don't think they're getting the six wins. And, you know, the Cowboys, for what it's worth, like, they're obviously a dumpster fire and all that stuff. But if Andy Dalton can at least give them, like, C-minus quarterback play, I don't know. I mean, can they could maybe get to six wins. Like, and that's the weird thing. Every week we record this pod where, like, it's like a new team that you think can maybe win the division because none of them will run away from it and none of them will look impressive. So it's hard to like decide. But I do know our Vikings plus seven bet or minus seven bet's not looking great.
Yeah, it's early. It's early. Sure. I'm having a horrible week though, pick, so I'm sure it'll go bad. I've been
brings me joy.
Horrendous.
Happy to hear that.
Horrendous. All right. Let's couple other things I want to hit before we get out of here. And none of it's fun to talk about, but I do have a couple guys to shout out whose two didn't suck today. But quickly, we talked about a bit in talking about Wentz, but just to one more time harp on it, the offensive line was an absolute train wreck in pass protection day. And Jason Peters, never again, like, do I need to see that guy play football? He is a dumpster fire out there, Elliot. I mean, we talked before about the whole, like, and I know he came out towards the end of Mailata came in, but, are we sure that Mailata is a better football player than Jason Peters right now? Yeah, we're sure. We're definitely sure.
I mean, Peters was bad today. I think on the safety that was given up.
Wentz should have gotten rid of the ball.
Yes, but... Yes, I agree. But I do think that overall, yes, he had a very bad game. And there's really no point in playing him. I guess my point still does stand of you want to protect a franchise quarterback. But
I think Mailata is better.
Yeah, he could be. I mean, the coach is at least.
It can't be much worse, right?
Can't be much worse. Yeah, and you know, Peters did leave the game hurt today.
Just awful. So. Oh, fine. Go on IR. Jason Kelce, that whole weird thing. What a warrior. Came back and played. What did you think of the whole tent fiasco? That was a weird moment where he was like, I'm not going to go in the tent, but then he was fine going into the locker room. It was strange.
Yeah, I mean, look, not being in Cleveland, it was a little hard to see, but just from what they showed on him of the TV, it seemed like he was just mentally saying to himself, I'm not hurt, I'm not hurt. And I think that's why he didn't want to go in there. And then he obviously ends up coming back out. And credit to him for doing it, because he is an Eagles Hall of Famer, he's a all-pro center, he's maybe, you know, a Hall of Fame player, and he's playing for a team that's terrible, and it's raining, and he's in Cleveland. I mean, I know he's from Ohio, but...
It must have sucked. Must have not been fun out there.
I have a quote I want to read to you and I want to get your feedback
on
it.
Sure.
All right. Eagles Brandon Graham on the idea of benching Carson. I'm confident in whatever coach wants to do on the offensive side. That's got nothing to do with us on the defensive side. Whatever it takes to get a W, we're going to do it. Whatever coach does, we're going to support him.
Whoa.
What do you think of that?
Oh, man, Elliot.
Not the vote of confidence you want to see if you're Carson,
no,
right?
Oh, man. No. Jesus.
I think the
– Mary and Joseph.
And look, Jalen Hurts is your teammate too, so I understand. But I do
I know, but like, whoa,
if you're
buddy.
Brandon, you probably want to – if you – look, he obviously said how he feels. But if this is him trying not to make a headline, you probably want to go with something more along the lines of I have confidence in Carson, right?
Not great, Elliot.
Maybe they will bench him. I know he says he won't, but that's a it's an interesting quote.
Couple more things I want to get to. Travis Fulgham, what the hell happened? Where is he? What is happening?
Yeah, it's insane. And I understand that, you know, forcing the ball to Fulgham sounds crazy on its surface, but with how well he's played, like, I do think you have to game plan to get it to him. Now, this could be, to use I'm basically a high hopes podcast guy now, but, you know, When a pitcher goes through like a third, fourth time through the lineup, like, they adjust, right? And that's when you find out who are the really good pitchers, because they're able to adjust other people adjusting. Like, maybe Travis Fulgham is not able to be a guy that teams game plan for. Like, maybe he's just not good enough to be.
It's possible.
That.
It's possible.
So that could be it. Like, it now again, the chess, like, it is Doug's job then to make it so he can get open. But I mean, I kind of think that's what's going on with Fulgham. It's a combination of Fulgham is not Julio Jones. He's not like this guy that you just toss it up to. But, you know, they should try to find ways, because the offense certainly looked a lot better when Fulgham was getting the ball.
Yeah, you're telling me. Rager, nothing much again today.
Well, yeah, nice catch at the end there.
Yeah, just not much.
Well, I think that it's hard when when the offense is so bad and the
I agree. That's so fair. Poor, it's hard. It's hard to judge anyone.
But again, four catches, 52 yards. Like, this was their big move at receiver. Like, that was their big move at receiver that they made this offseason. He had four catches, 52 yards. So it's not great.
Greg Ward, can you catch a punt? Like, is that a
yeah.
What is the deal? It's like the third or fourth time he's just let one go over his head that got down inside the five. It's unbelievable.
The only argument I can think of is just because it's raining, but he did field a lot. He did field other punts. So
yeah, it's so weird. Defensively, we haven't talked much, but I think we both agree, like, for the most part, you know, they kind of struggled at the end. But I think on the whole, you can win that game that the defense played. Avante Maddox is bad though, man. I'm super disappointed about him. I really thought he was going to be a player after that rookie season, and he is bad. Certainly as an outside corner, maybe he could be better in the slot or whatever, but he's bad, man. He has looked awful.
Well, I think this is one you can get on the coaching staff about, and I'm tired from watching that game, so maybe I'll misremember, but it was his second year where he moved to safety, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, if that's the case, then, I mean, I don't know. He was good at nickel corner. Like, if they would have just kept him at nickel corner, I'd be interested to see where he'd be at right now instead of moving him all around, like, to safety, to outside corner, sometimes at nickel, like, the left side, the right side, all that stuff. I'd be interested just to see, like, if you would have kept him at nickel, if he would have been able to grow and be a good player that he looked like his rookie year. But
it's an interesting thought, Elliot. You're right about that.
But, yeah, it's – I mean, look, there's only maybe two positions on the team that you don't have to worry about going into next year. You don't have to worry about whatever cornerback spot Darius Slay is at. And on offense, I mean, I don't know. It depends on who's back.
What a comment, my friend.
Well, I mean, seriously, what spots
I'm with you.
Have to
I mean,
worry
Lane
about?
Johnson, maybe
Isaac
if he's Sayamalu? Healthy.
Like,
yeah, Jason Kelce if he decides not to retire. And if I were him, I would. I right, would Miles certainly
Sanders.
Retire, sure, kind of, if he'll stay on the field.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What'd you think of Doug not calling the timeout, the two-minute warning?
It made no sense to me. Like, it almost like he was just like, I don't trust anyone out here, and I don't – it made no sense, but it was just one of many. But what did you think?
Well, so I think it did – it was just a feeling of, let's just get in the locker room and get
yes,
this over
that's
with.
That's my point. Like, he was and like, then, all
right. And then after the game, he's asked about it, and, you know – I feel bad making fun of him for not remembering the play. Like, I understand you're tired. You just coached a game. You're probably super upset you lost. Like, everyone's allowed to make mistakes. Like, you forget. I do feel all that stuff. But then he's asked about the play, which is like a play that I would say you knew he was going to be asked about. And he had to like be reminded 3 to 4 times what play was being, what they were talking about. And then he was like, well, I can give you a better answer on Monday.
Doug's so, checked like, out.
Not his persona, like his vibe at the podium, again, just, and it sucks. I get it. Like, you're 3-6-1. Like, I super understand it sucks, but might want to, you know, act a little more, try to pretend at least that you're happy out there. But my question about the 2-minute thing is, I do think it's a move that he made because he didn't trust the team. Would you rather have him coach with, like, not trusting the team, where he's like, look, like, we need to try to minimize damage here. I don't think we can go for it on fourth down because I don't think we'll get it. Or would you rather have him just be reckless and be like, this team's bad, but like go for it on fourth down. Like all, like, you know, I don't know what the right answer is because I do see.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's probably a mix of both. It's probably strategic aggressiveness, but I don't know, man. I get it. It's hard when you know that your team just can't execute anything. It makes it tough. I'm sure Doug is feeling, you know, because again, while I think Doug had a bad day, I again also think the much bigger issue is the roster and the inability to execute and the lack of players who can play. And I think that ultimately, you know, I'm sure that's frustrating for Doug as well.
So I was asked this on the pregame show. We talk about it seemingly after every pod because they always lose. But I'll ask you, like, where are you at? Not with what you want, but what do you think is going to happen? Like, does Doug come back? Does Howie come back? Does Carson come back? Like, what's the?
I mean, I don't think much has changed. I mean, I went into this game expecting them to lose. I don't think it was, you know, a worse loss than last week. It was just another bad loss. I don't know. I don't think Howie's going anywhere. I don't know past that. I don't think Howie's going anywhere. That's the only thing I feel pretty confident about. I would guess that they probably re-rack it and bring everyone back and write 2020 off if it doesn't go too horribly would be my guess, but I don't feel confident in anything, especially like who knows how bad they look against some of these really good teams down the stretch. I mean, if they lose, you know, 40-7, we're sitting here being like, oh God. So I don't know. As of now, if I had to bet, like, you know, my life's on the line, I would bet on all three being back, but I certainly don't feel great about it.
Yeah, I think that's probably where I'm at still. I think the only way one of them is gone is probably if they lose every game, like from here on out.
Yeah, which is possible. I mean, let's be real.
Yeah, it is. And I think
it's totally possible.
And I do think if one of them is, I still, I guess, like gun to my head would have to pick Doug. But I am starting to think, like I said on the last pod, I just wonder if Jeffrey Lurie sits there and goes, how can I even judge Doug based off of Carson? I mean, he could be wrong. But like,
it's just hard to move on from Carson unless you're going to find a way to trade him, which is possible. But
right.
Anyway, last thing on my list, shout out to Alex Singleton. That guy's a good football player. He's fun to watch.
He is a very good football player.
He flies around. He makes plays. Yeah. He's in the right spots. I enjoyed Alex Singleton. I thought Rodney had a pretty good game. I thought Josh Sweat flashed, made some nice plays, but on the whole, those are my silver linings. They're not many, Elliot. What else you got? You got anything else on your list?
My Toyota player of the week was Fletcher Cox for forcing that fumble, which briefly gave
play.
Them light. Yeah.
Yeah, but then briefly he got hurt later. Hopefully he's okay, obviously. Yeah.
Was not great. But that was a big play. I mean, look, when he had that fumble,
it was a big
fumble,
play.
Which Singleton recovered, by the way. And then they had the touchdown. I'm like, wow, they're going to win this game, aren't they? Like, you know, like after just looking so bad, I'm like, this is such a classic Eagles thing. But they did not win the game.
Update.
I think if you're a half hour
they did
the
not
pod,
win.
You were well aware. Yeah. Hate no spoiler alert, but they did not win the game. If you don't have anything else, I have a fun question for you.
Yeah, lay it on me. Let me double check my list. Yeah, got it all. Again, all shout out to Dick Rod. I like Dick Rod. Go ahead.
We're cutting that one. All right. Listener asks, his nine-year-old gets an Eagles jersey for Christmas every year. This year he wants either Travis Fulgham or Jalen Reagor. Who do you think the better investment is? I already told him my answer. I'll be curious to know yours.
Okay. So just purely on who do I think will be here longer is essentially the idea. I think it's probably still Reagor. For me personally, 13 is my favorite number, so I would take Fulgham on that alone. But if you don't care about the number or anything like that, I think Reagor is probably the smarter call just because we know that they are going to give Reagor every chance, every shot, and it looks like he's at least going to be a quality, you know, or he's fine so far. You know, he's not like horrendous. Whereas Fulgham, I still believe can be a legit NFL player, but also there is still a question mark there, and they are not as committed from a, you know, pot committed standpoint as they are to Reagor. So I would say Reagor. What did you say?
So if his son can appreciate like sarcastic humor, I actually think Fulgham is the answer here, and here's why.
Love it.
I think like Reagor could potentially turn into a sore spot for fans. He already kind of is, but like it could really get worse, right? So if in a year and a half you're wearing a Jalen Reagor jersey, people might look at you and be like, oh, God, like they should have taken Justin Jefferson. At worst, Travis Fulgham in 4 years is a funny story to talk about, right?
Elliot, this is a really, really clever call by you.
I also think that Fulgham's like, if you got a Fulgham jersey, you're like a deep Eagles fan. You know, like that's like a I pay attention to the team type of jersey. So I think while your logic is true, and if his son just wants somebody that the most people know that's going to be here the longest, like Reagor is probably locked in for at least the next 2 or 3 years. But I think Fulgham is the fun choice here. And I said this to him, so we'll see what he
does. I rescind my answer. I co-sign your answer. Much better answer. Plus, again, I love 13, so I'm happy to suggest 13.
Yes.
This is a win for everybody involved.
All right. Well, if anybody out there is debating getting their kid a jersey, you have our take on who the
You have our take, jersey. And we're always happy to get more
who
takes.
Who would you get if you could get anybody for Zoe?
Brandon.
Well, I guess, yeah, I knew you were going to say that. That's true.
I mean, okay. It's just lock it in. It's not even a question.
Yeah,
it's the easiest
good
call ever. What is your favorite number? By the way, mine's 13.
People are going to think I'm doing this as a bit, and it's honestly not, but I swear on my life, my favorite number is number 2.
Is it really his trilogy because of Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, and like it was my soccer jersey.
Your birthday's November 2nd, right?
Yeah, my birthday's November 2nd. It was my soccer jersey growing up. Like, it just is my favorite number. So
nice. I like you know,
it was why I was briefly in on Matt Barkley when they had him. He was number 2. But I will not comment on Jalen Hurts wearing number 2.
It is pretty hilarious. You got any final thoughts?
No. I mean,
perfect
I don't
answer.
Right? Like,
same.
Look, no, I have no final thoughts. I think. All right. Well, how about this? What do you think the line is going to be against Seattle?
It's in Seattle or is it here?
It's in Philly. So you start with minus.
I would say Seattle's like a 6.5 point favorite.
I was going to start with 7. I'm wondering if they if we're surprised by it initially, but yeah, I think it's going to be at least 5 is my
guess. It should be, my friend. And
especially since
Seattle.
They never beat Seattle.
I'm taking Seattle. I'll tell you that much. I'm taking Seattle.
You locking that in?
Lock it in twice in a row. Locking it in. All right, so we're going to be back on Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll do a catch-up pod on Tuesday, picks pod on Wednesday, heading into Thanksgiving break, and then we'll be back on Saturday, 1-3, on WIP to talk about this horrible football team, Elliot. Super fun, buddy. Super fun.
Can't wait. If you're a listener that can't bring yourself to listen to the pods on Tuesday, happy Thanksgiving and enjoy.
Yeah, I like that. Happy Thanksgiving. Wish it again to the people who do listen. But if you're out now and you're taking the week off from the Eagles, first of all, I don't blame you. Second of all, happy Thanksgiving.
Just play the pod and put it on mute. You know,
I like that. Just download. We don't even care if you listen. Just download it. That works.
Right. There we go.
He's Elliot James. We'll see you guys later.